Okay, so first of all, tonight's learning is Le'ilui Nishmas, Tanya's mother. Today is her yahrzeit. The name is Reza Chiyena, I believe. Reza Chena Bas Eliyahu Leib. It happens that I actually wrote something about this the other week. I think people, to some extent, overemphasize Kaddish in the Avelos procedure. If you look at the original source in the Arizarua, so the idea is that when a child does mitzvos, in particular learning Torah, so that elevates the neshama. So I think sponsoring a shir, dedicating a shir le'ilui nishmas, your mother, la shalom, in some ways, like, again, no one's saying Kaddish, like, but to some extent, we're not missing out as much as we would think by not saying Kaddish. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants is that when children do mitzvos, le'ilui nishmas a parent, whatever this means in the heebie-jeebie world, but it accomplishes a great deal. That's our belief. So our Torah tonight is dedicated le'ilui nishmasa, and tonight's topic is actually one of the more exciting and relevant topics in Hilchos Nida that comes up, of course, here in Maseches Sukkah that we're learning. If you remember, the Gemara was trying to derive the source of a mechitza of 10 tefachim, and at first we have like various and sundry limudim from the Aron and the Kapores. The Gemara says that doesn't work according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the total of the Aron and the Kapores is going to be 8.5 instead of 10. So therefore, Zak the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda has it as a halacha l'moshe Misinai. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Eger pointed out that sometimes the Gemara does this, that we have like three things, which are halacha l'moshe Misinai, and it like goes together, like it comes off of your lips, shirin chatzitim mechitzin. Right, so Shi'urin, last week we spoke about, is a halacha l'moshe Misinai, the Gemara Sakasha. I mean, it's halacha l'moshe Misinai, I, Eretz, Chita, Se'ore, Gefen, Te'ena, sounds like it's a din d'oraisa, right, sounds like it's Torah Shebiksav, not halacha l'moshe Misinai, which is Torah Sheba'al Peh. And the Gemara answers, no, basically it's a smach de ba'alma, in the sense of, really, it's halacha l'moshe Misinai, but halacha l'moshe Misinai is placed on the pasuk. That was the Gemara last week about Shi'urin. This week we'll talk about Chatzitzin. Right? So Zak the Gemara, it's like 7-8 lines on the bottom of Vav Amun Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines on the bottom. Vav Amun Aleph. Zak the Gemara, Chatzitzin. What are you telling me that Chatzitza is Halacha Moshe Misinai? Chatzitza is Doraisa. It's Teresh B'Ksav. Dichse V'Rochatz Es B'Saro B'Mayim. Shelo Yehei Dover Chotzeitz Beino Lebein Hamayim. The Torah, by the way, speaks about tevila as rechitza, as like rinsing oneself off. And we learn that Verachatz Es Bisaro teaches me that there can't be any chatzitza between the individual and the water. So the Gemara asks, it's a din d'oraisa. What are you telling me? It's halacha l'moshe Misinai? So we answer, no, ki asoi hilchasa l'sa'aro. The halacha l'moshe Misinai is not talking about the body. The din of rachatz es bisaro b'mayim. That's Torah Shebiksav. But saro, the hair, is halacha l'moshe Misinai. Kidurabba bar brachana. De omer rabba bar brachana. Nima achas keshura chotzetzes. Shalosh einon chotzetzos. Shtayim eini yodeya. Right? The Gemara says that one hair is a chatzitza. Three hairs is not a chatzitza. One hair is tied together is a chatzitza. Three hairs is not. Two, I'm not sure. Right? The basic issue is that if the hair is tied very tightly, so then water won't get into it, that is considered a chatzitza. That's what Rashi writes. Right? Your makbid on it. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And it's a chatzitza. Demehadak shapir, because it's very tight. V'lo aili b'maya. And water doesn't get in. So if one hair is tied on itself, it's a chatzitza. If three hairs are tied, it's very loose, so it's not a chatzitza. Two hairs, I don't know. So there's a din of chatzitza by hair. And Zakti Gemara, that din of chatzitza by hair is a halacha on Moshe Misinai, it's not Dairaisa. By the way, this idea of chatzitza by hair relating to the hair being knotted, this is really the fundamental halacha of chafifa, no? Before you go to the mikvah, again, usually we understand in terms of before a woman goes to the mikvah, in order to be tahor labayla, but the halach of chafifa actually is true even for men. No? The Rabbanut HaRashit put out guidelines for a man who wants to go up to Har HaBayis. We don't often think of this, but then you have to go to the mikvah me'ikar hadin, and you have to do a chafifa beforehand. Right? So yeah, chafifa means you comb your hair, and the combing of the hair is to make sure that the hair is not tied together. One hair tied together is a chatzitza, two we're not sure. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Saro nami d'oraisa ninu. Hair is also d'oraisa. D'chsiv rachatz es b'saro b'mayim, es hatafel b'saro, u'maynihu saro. Right, it's interesting. The Gemara says that hair is a Torah shebiksav halacha. It's a Torah shebiksav halacha in the sense of es. And the word es is a ribui. Es hatofel lebesaro. And that includes the hair. And the hair, it's not just Torah shebaal peh. The hair is not just Torah shebaal peh. The hair is Torah shebiksav. Es teaches me that extra word, that's considered Torah shebiksav. I found that really interesting, that that's called Torah shebiksav. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean the hair is where you need a halacha Moshe Misinai? So my answer is, ki asai hilchasa l'chdreb Yitzchak. The halacha Moshe Misinai comes to teach me Rev Yitzchak's din, dama Rev Yitzchak, devar Torah rubo makbid olav chotzeitz, she'eno makbid olav eno chotzeitz. Min ha-Torah, to be a chatzitza, you need two things. It has to be rov u-makbid. Rov means that it covers most of the body, let's say. Makbid means that you don't want it there. When you don't want it there is a question. What do you mean, I don't want it there? Doesn't mean I don't want it there in the sense of I wouldn't go to a wedding with this. Doesn't mean I don't want it there, I wouldn't go out in public. Doesn't mean I don't want it there. You know, like, it's not clear. Makbid means, by the way, Rashi writes over here, that makbid means something that you want to take off. Whether sofo litlo, whether it's something that you're going to take off or not, that's where Rashi writes it. That's Rashi Dior Maslo, ein makbid. So min ha-Torah, a chatzitza requires two things. Rubo, u-makbid. Has to cover the majority of the body, let's say, and your makbid, which is that you don't want it there, and therefore you'll take it off. If it is eino makbid olav, eino chotzeitz. If it's rubai she'eino makbid, it's not a problem. V'gazra rubo she'eino makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid, v'amiyot ha-makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. Right? So Zok the Gemara, this is like the fundamental din of chatzitza. Rubo ha-makbid is a din d'iraisa. If it's rov ve'eno makbid, or miyot ha-makbid, that's a din d'rabbonon. That's called a chatzitza. Frek the Gemara, ligzanami al miyot she'eno makbid. Let's say there's a chatzitza on a miyot she'eno makbid, on a tiny amount that you don't care if you'll remove it or not. We should make a gezerah miyot she'eno makbid mishum miyot ha-makbid, inami mishum rubo she'eno makbid. So the Gemara answers, no, we can't do that. He goof a gezerah. We're not going to make a gezera le gezera. So ostensibly, what the Gemara is saying is that the din d'oraisa of chatzitza is rubo umakbir. There are dinim d'rabbonon if it's rubo ve'eno makbir or miyot ha-makbir. Miyot she'eno makbir is fine. Miyot she'eno makbir is fine. Now, how do you know this idea of rubo umakbir? Where does that come from? Zok the Gemara, that comes from halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So the halacha l'Moshe Misinai of chatzitza is basically this rule of Rubo umakbir. Deep breath. Now we're going to have to talk about this. There is a ton to say. I could seriously give shiur for like 2 months on these three lines of Gemara. And if you'd be in my smicha shiur in yeshiva when we do nida, believe me, we would spend 2 months on it. Or when I give the bechinas to the Yoatzot Halacha, I spend a lot of time on these topics because they're kind of awesome. So first of all, let's just talk in lomdis, okay? The halacha is that rubo umakbid is doiraisa. Rubo she'eno makbid is derabbanon. But it's a din derabbanon. That means I don't want it there, midderabbanon. Once I don't want it there, doesn't that make it like now it's rubo umakbid, so now it becomes doiraisa? L'chara, there's no such thing. Right, this, by the way, is a famous kasha. Reb Chaim Eizer in his Tshuvas deals with this kasha. Reb Chanan Wasserman deals with this kasha. He quotes it from Reb Chaim. Right? But the fact that Rubo ve'eno makbid is derabbanon is very difficult. Because once it's derabbanon, that means I'm makbid. Once I'm makbid, it becomes doraisa. That's already razzle-dazzle. So there are a number of answers that are given. The answer that Reb Chaim gives to this kasha, again, this is just to kind of get us excited, and then we'll get into the sugya for real. The answer Reb Chaim gives to the kasha is that makbid means that you don't want the whole thing there. You want to get rid of the entire kit and caboodle. When you have rubo ve'eno makbid, so midrabanon, I want to get rid of it, because rubo ve'eno makbid means I want to get rid of some of it. But how much do I want to get rid of? I only want to get rid of enough that it's not rubo anymore. Once I don't want to get rid of the whole thing, so consequently, it could be it's not going to be a chatzitza min haTorah. That is what Reb Chaim said. The better approach, however, which is said by everybody says this approach, is that the halacha judges makbid and eno makbid not based on whether I'm makbid in halacha, but based on whether I would be makbid, like we gave examples. If you're going out to a party, would you not want to look like that? Right? That's considered makbid. It's not based on kepeda in halacha. There are many areas where the halachic definition of what I want and the metzius definition of what I want might not be the same. But the halacha judges itself based on the metzius definition. Let's say psik resha denichalei on Shabbos is asar min haTorah. No? If I do action A, and as a result of action A, action B happens, and it's inevitable, so I'm chayiv misa for that. Right? I drag a heavy bench, it digs a hole, I'm chayiv misa. Why? It's a psik resha denichalei. I want the hole. I want the hole? I don't want the hole. If I want the hole, then I'm chayiv misa. So I'm going to say I don't want the hole, so that I'm not chayiv misa. No, I'll be a lamdan. So the answer is no, we don't care about halacha. This sounds so bad out of context. But we don't care about halacha. What we care about is whether you would want the hole on the regular Wednesday. Here also, when I talk about makbid or eno makbid, if the only reason why you're makbid is because of halacha, that doesn't get into my calculus. My calculus is based on what people would want should there not be a halacha. That's the idea of rubo umakbid, rubo ve'eno makbid. I think that is fairly simple. Now, let's turn back to Amud Aleph for a minute. Right, we speak about a hair. Right? There's chatzitza and a hair. One hair tied together, one hair tied on itself is a chatzitza. Three, not a chatzitza. Zakt Rashi. Nima achas kishura, umakbir olav, then it's a chatzitza, because it is very tight, and water won't get into it. And we make a gezera atu miyot hamakbir. So Rashi says that nima achas kishura means it's tied up, and you are makbir on it. No? The chatzitza that I'm talking about is chatzitza midrabanan. Because it's one hair that's tied. Many Rishonim disagree with Rashi, although the Metzias is very hard to understand. The Ritva has a line that maybe Nima Achas Keshura means that my entire hair, actually someone, apparently, what's his name? There's a basketball player, Studmeier. He used to be on the Knicks, and now he's trying to play in Israel. So he's trying to convert to Judaism, and he has like big dreadlocks. So someone posted on Twitter about going to the mikveh to convert in dreadlocks. That's a beferish din in Shulchan Aruch. There's a lot of discussion about going to the mikveh with dreadlocks, although I have to admit, never in my life in the rabbinate has anyone asked me this question, l'maisa. But it could be, the way the Ritva is learning this Gemara, is that every single hair is individually tied onto itself. You see, Rashi is saying that the knot on the hair, there's one hair that's knotted. Rashi says, oh, if it's one hair, it's only a miyot. And therefore, the only reason why it's going to be a chatzitza is because you care about that knot, no? Sometimes a person could not care about like one hair that's knotted. According to Rashi, that would be a miyot she'en lo makbid. That's not a problem. The Ritva says, no, the case in the Gemara is that every hair that you have on your head, or most of the hairs that you have on your head, are knotted individually. And because most of the hairs are knotted individually, so therefore it's really rove, and therefore even if you're not makbid on it, it's going to be a problem. Now, here's the issue why it doesn't make sense in Metzius. You see, hairs are long, no? Their barbers are not open yet, so my hair is longer than it would be otherwise. Hairs can be long. So when I say that there's one knot on the hair, and that's going to be a chatzitza, right? So according to Rashi, it's a chatzitza because you're makbid. It's miyot, you're makbid. Great. According to the Ritva, it's rove. What's rove? That means rove are the hairs on my head. Let's say I have 50 hairs on my head, right? Halavai. Let's say I have 50 hairs on my head. So 26 of them are knotted. But that's not enough to be rove. Because you also have to calculate that each hair, let's say, is 6 inches long, and you need it to be knotted at least 3 inches of those 6 inches. So you need many more than one knot on the hair. Now, like, this has never happened in the history of the planet. No? Unless someone is, like, doing some sort of dare, like in a college sorority or something. Right? It would never be, right, that, like, you would tie up every hair with a million knots. So it's really hard to understand this din of knotting on the hair. How is it a chatzitza? Because presumably you have to take into account the length of the hair also. And that would mean that there's like dozens of knots. So the Sfas Emes raises this question. And the Sfas Emes thinks that maybe the halacha of chatzitza on the hair is not really a halacha of chatzitza on the hair. It's a halach of chatzitza on the scalp. And if I have a knot very close to my scalp, so that's a chatzitza because then the water can't get to my scalp. That is the way the Sfas Emes understands it. That seems to be really interesting, and I would say not pashut pshat at all. Because our Gemara seems to be saying that there's a halacha of hair as chatzitza. Hair as opposed to body. Scalp is body, skin, epidermis. Remember, like as kids, I see epidermis, whatever they were doing, right? Skin is the body. Hair is not body, right? So to say that the chatzitza of the hair is just that it doesn't allow the water to get to the scalp, what the Sfas Emes suggests, I think is really interesting. I think it's really interesting, and Maybe we'll talk about it a different time. Okay. Everything is good, ladies? Comments, questions, observations, jokes? Okay. So let's go weiter. The real issue in this sugya is Rashi writes that Devar Torah is halacha l'moshe b'Sinai, that I got, right? Again, because the whole Gemara is dealing with whether it is Torah shebiksav or halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. So Rashi writes, Devar Torah is halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. Rubo. What does Rubo mean? Rubo means Rov Saro, Betunath Betit, O Kashur Achas Achas, Umak Bidolav Chotzeitz. Rubo means that the Chatzitza is Rov Saro, most of the hair. And Tysus is going to jump up and down and spit water nickels. Tysus says, one second, according to Rashi, the din of Rov is on the hair. That would indicate that on the body, any tiny amount would be a chatzitza. If the halacha of Rov u'makbid is halacha on the hair, that would imply that big guf, even if it's not Rov, it's going to be a chatzitza. And that, Tosis says, that's impossible. Right? So we'll talk about the Tosis in a minute. But first of all, just how does Rashi get this idea? What triggered Rashi to say that Rove over here means Rove of the hair rather than Rove of the body? Okay, this one you should be able to chop. Rachel, you have any comments, any thoughts? Now, according to Rashi, this Gemara that says Rove, Rubo u'makbid is a problem, right? Rubo ve'eno makbid is a problem, it's rabbonon, etc. That's talking about on the hair. That would imply that there are different rules on the body. And Tosa says, maybe that would imply that a chatzitza on the body does not have to be rov min hatayra. Maybe a tiny amount on the body is going to be a chatzitza. And Tosfos goes to town, proving that Rashi is wrong, right? Understanding the Gemara differently, whatever. We'll talk about the Tosfos in a few minutes. But what led Rashi to this idea that Rov in our Gemara means Rov of the hair, as opposed to Rov of the body? If I say it's Rov of the hair, it becomes like a weird situation, like we spoke about. Rove of the hair means each individual hair is tied up onto itself. That is just nuts. That doesn't happen. Right? But yet Rashi learns the Gemara that way. Why does Rashi learn the Gemara that way? Maybe, but the Gemara says that Es hatofi ol besaro means also that, like, I sort of have a pasuk for the hair, right? So again, there's one key word that's missing from our Gemara. When the Gemara changes its mind, it uses the word ella. No? So if you just go through this Gemara, right, the Gemara asks, isn't chatzitza doraisa? So Gemara says, oh, we're talking about the hair. Frankly, why the hair is also doraisa? So the Gemara says, oh, we're talking about Rov, Miyot, etc. But the Gemara does not say the word Ella. Therefore, when we invoke Rav Yitzchak's halacha of Rov and Miyot, we are still working with Rabbi Bar Barchana's halacha of Chatzitza on hair. We never have an Ella. We never change. We never move away from the idea of Rabbi Bar Barchana that we're talking about the hair. Rav Yitzchak's statement of Rov, etc., is built off of Rabbi Bar Barchana's statement. That's the way Rashi is going to learn the Gemara, and textually, there is pretty good support to that. Right? Rashi is saying, pretty simple, that there is no Ella. Make sense? Yael, you like this? You're shaking your head, right? That's like, shaking head is at least a thumb up. Okay, so for... What, we did that ourselves, or we did that being you did that with like some. Oh, yes, with the Aron and the Kapur. Right, correct. Oh, okay. Huh, very good. Yeah, I mean, gonna have like, my memory is not fine. Now, so that's one issue. Now, Tosfos, Devar Torah Ruba Umakbid Chotzeitz. You have the Tosfos on Bava Mebeis? This is like the key. This Tosfos is very important. Tosfos writes, Yesh Mefarshim, Dahacha Ayri B'Seyar, Avo B'Basar Chotzeitz Afilu Mi'uto She'eno Makbid. Tosfos quotes Yesh Mefarshim. He does not quote that this is Rashi specifically, and that might be because even though Rashi says Rove means Rove Saro, but Rashi does not say Beferish that Bibasar Miyut She'eno Makbid is a Chatzitza. In fact, the Tosfos Rid learns that according to Rashi, Bibasar, again, according to Rashi, Basar and Se'ar are different. So by Se'ar, I have rules of Rove and Makbid, etc. What would be the halacha by Basar according to Rashi? So Tosfos says, according to Rashi, the halacha by Basar would be that even miyut she'eno makbid is a chatzitza. Right? B'basar chotzeitz afilu miyut she'eno makbid. Right? It could be that's not correct. It could be or Rashi is meduyak is that b'basar. Again, even if this is the Pshat and Rashi, but it could be that by Basar, even a Miyot HaMakbid is a Chatzitza min HaTaira. The idea that Miyot Ve'eno Makbid, that is Lav Dafka found in Rashi. And again, it could be that Tosfos says Yesh Mefarshim, rather than calling Rashi out by name, is for that reason. It could be it's for that reason. Can you just answer and say I'm giving Gashir? Now,
hi.
Now, Tosfos then asks, V'kasha l'Rabbeinu Tam.
Yes.
Right, Tosfos asks that Rabbeinu Tam has a kasha. Mehod amrina n'perek ha'orel. Nachris me'uberes sh'niskayra, b'no ein sarach tevila. Right, this is a halacha. Actually, it's not so uncommon. I think I've done three of these in my life as a dying for Geirus. A pregnant woman is converting to Judaism, so the tevila of the mother works for the baby, and the child does not require tevila. Mommy's tevila works for the baby. By the way, the Dogo Miravava says that this only helps if the Bezdin is aware that she's pregnant. If the Bezdin is not aware that she's pregnant, it doesn't help. I had that case also once. A young woman in my shul was engaged, and we were discussing about her getting married. She said her mother converted, etc. And it turned out the Bezdin was not aware that she was pregnant. The mother converted very early in the pregnancy, and no one knew. And that became very difficult because this young woman had. It's actually not so hard if you're going to convert right before your wedding. You're going to the mikveh anyway. So it's like,
how do I get Amazon?
It's like a double dip. One second. Now, so the Gemara says that Nachris Mu'uberesh in the Skyra, when a pregnant woman converts, the child doesn't require tevila. Uparich, the Gemara asks, Amai? Why not? B'chi teimim mishum Reb Yitzchak, if you're going to tell me based on Reb Yitzchak's rule, the chatzitza is only Revu Makbid, etc. And in this case, you're not Makbid. You're not Makbid because Makbid means you want to remove that outermost surface. the pregnant woman does not want to remove her belly and have the baby exposed, right? So it is not makbid. So maybe the reason why you don't need tevila is based on Rev Yitzchak. The man says, no, that can't be, because Amar Rav Kahana, lo shanu ela rubo, aval kulo chotzeitz. Right, the din is that eino makbid is not a problem in Hatera by Rov, but by Kol, where the baby is completely surrounded, so then it's going to be a chatzitza. The hashta says Taisus da difale havalak shuye, dibibaza afilu masho afilu eino makbid chotzeitz. Says Taisus, why do you have to come with this whole razzle-dazzle idea that kulo is makbid, right? That kulo, even eino makbid, is going to be a problem. You don't have to be mechadish this idea of kulo. Remember, we're talking about basar. Basar, the body itself. By the body itself, there's no rule of rov. The rule of rov is only on the hair, according to Rashi. So why does the Gemara have to come up with Rav Kahana's chiddush? Elamai, you see from that Gemara that Rav Kahana is mechadesh, that kulo is a chatzitza, even though it's eino makbid. You see that ordinarily eino makbid will not be a problem even on the body against Rashi. That's basically what Tosa says. Now let's just pause for 1 second. Part of that brisker rav that apparently you can't find an Otzer HaChochma and on any website, I feel spoiled because I have Bar Ilan, but Reb Volvo Soloveitchik develops an idea that, you know, when I come to Tevila, there are two dinim. There's a halacha called Chatzitza, and there's a halacha that's called Bias Mayim. Let me explain. We learn from the Pasuk that Uba HaShemesh V'Taher, that when the sun goes down, the sun ends up completely under the horizon. None of the sun is up. That teaches me that Ma Bias Shimsho B'Kulo, right? Af Bias Gufo B'Kulo, meaning when you go to the mikvah, the entire body has to go into the mikvah. If your pinky is out of the mikvah, if a tiny thread of hair is out of the mikvah, it doesn't count at all. That's a din d'oraisa, no matter what. There's another din called chatzitza. Chatzitza basically means that I'm in the water, but because there is a foreign body attached to me, because there's some impediment, so it can invalidate the tevila under certain circumstances. If it's rubayu makbid minatayra, etc., like we're learning. Chatzitza is not a chisaron in bias mayim. To have bias mayim, as long as your entire body is in the water, that's bias mayim. So your entire body is in the water, bias mayim. There might be another din of chatzitza. Says Reb Velvel, maybe the idea of Rav Kahana, when he says that the baby that's inside the mother's stomach, since the baby is completely covered, so therefore it's not a tevila, maybe that's not a halacha of chatzitza. That's this new halacha of bias mayim. Because the baby is not in the water. No? Baby is in mommy. Mommy's in water. So, Reb Velvel develops this idea. This is actually one of, when you learn Kuf Tzadiches in Yerideya, when you learn the dino of chatzitza by tevila, so this is one of the great mysteries, the relationship between the dinum of chatzitza and the dinum of bias mayim. The concept of a mikvah lady in halacha is technically only for this din of bias mayim, to make sure that your entire body goes under the water. The mikvah lady doesn't have to, the balanit, doesn't have to check if you have chatzitzas. Some women prefer that the mikvah lady does check because they're nervous. Maybe they'll have a chatzitza. Other women are uncomfortable being checked by someone else. Whatever. But as a technical matter of halacha, you need a balanit. Right? That's beferish and shulchan aruch. But balanit only is there for this din of bias mayim, to make sure that you completely go under the water. The balanit is not there for chatzitza rules. It happens, by the way, just like practical rabbinics for me. The only like really good shilas I've ever gotten have been when women opted out of being checked. I once had a guy walked over to me Shabbos morning in shul, and he opens his hand and there are earrings. So I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? He's like, oh, my wife went to the mikvah last night and she was wearing her earrings when she went in. So like, what's the deal? And again, so like, whatever, if the earring can turn around, if it's not very tight, so b'diavad, it's not going to be a chatzitza. That was the issue. But these things, again, I'm not telling people that you should have women check you, not have women check you. It's a personal decision. But by not being checked sometimes, you can end up with shilas that you would not have otherwise. I'm guessing that had the mikveh lady looked at her, rather than just looking to make sure that she went completely under the water, she would have noticed that the studs are still in her ears. That's my guess. Okay. So Rashi says that the din of rov and miyut is about the hair. Tosis infers from Rashi that begufo, even miyut she'eno makbid, would be a problem. And he asks, well, if that's the case, then how come the Gemara has to invent this new halacha of kulo by the Uberishinis Gaira, just say that it's the guf, and guf, any amount is a problem? So we suggested an answer for Revelful that the din Uberishinis Gaira is to teach me a different halacha. It's not about chatzitza, it's about bias mayim. That's what we've done so far. Then Tosis goes on and he asks some kashas from halachos of chatzitza in other things. You see, for us, tevila basically is only for human beings, no? The Gemara speaks about, though, toivoling kalim, because when you kept dinim of tuman tahara, so you have to put your mir da'as, your saddle from your horse, you have to put that in the mikveh sometimes, you know? I've never had this shaila either, about someone who put a saddle into the mikveh. So Tosa says, one second, if Rashi is correct that the din of rov and miyot is only on the hair, that would imply by anything that's not hair, for example, kalim, even a miyot is a chatzitza, but that's not true. The Gemara has a shir, mitakayav shira b'chatzitza meseches mikvais, and we quote it in Shabbos, ahamir da'as, on a saddle. Rashbag says, ad ke'isari talki. There's a shir. Why is there a shir? Why, right, Israel Katalki is like some coin. Why is that a shear? According to Rashi, it should not be a shear at all. Old Maisi Hosam Shoban Noim Shall Tami de Chachomim Mitzar Echod, Chotzeit Shobor Mishneit Studim. Right, certain Kalim, a certain begun of Tami de Chachomim, if there's a stain on one side, it's a problem. If you're Nama Oretz, in order to have a stain, that's why Chatzitza has to be on both sides. Why are there halachos of chatzitza and begodim? According to Rashi, any tiny amount is a chatzitza. The Gemara in Zvachim says that blood on the beggar is a chatzitza. But if you're a shochet, so there's always blood on your beggar. You work in the butcher shop. There's always blood on your beggar. Then it's not a chatzitza. If you have oil on your beggar, it's a chatzitza. But if you sell oil, it's not a chatzitza. Why are all these things true if Rashi is correct? Question, stop. Basically, Tosa says Rashi is absolutely wrong. So, is there any defense of Rashi? We know that Rashi makes a certain amount of sense from the Gemara without the word Ella, but conceptually, right? Rashi is saying that the way Tosa infers from Rashi that miyut on the guf is a chatzitza, and that can't be. That can't be. So how can we possibly defend Rashi? So comes along Reb Yom Tov ben Alashpali, or whatever the Ritva was named, right? And the Ritva writes that Tosfos misunderstood Rashi. You see, let's look in the Rambam. Look in the Rambam, Perek Beis of Hilchos Mikvaos Halacha Tesvav. Perek Beis of Mikvaos Halacha Tesvav. Let's look at this Rambam. This is like a classic. It's a beautiful Rambam. Right? The Rambam quotes Ardin, right? You have it? Shtei saros o yeser shayu kishurim ka'achas. If you have two hairs that are tied, it's not a chatzitza, because water comes into it. By the way, it seems like from this halacha that we are somehow connecting the idea of water getting into the idea of chatzitza, even though the way we presented it, it sounds like it's two separate ideas. That's for a different time. One hair that's tied together is a chatzitza, providing your makbid. If you're not makbid, it's a good tevila. Ad sheyia rov saro kashur neima b'fnei atzma kazeh horu hagaonim. The gaonim paskind that it's only a chatzitza if most of your hair is tied together. Meaning, I calculate majority based on majority of hair. If the majority of my hair is tied together and a makbid, it's a chatzitza min hatayra. The majority of my hair. Maimonides, however, says, V'yeira eli, shesaro sha'odom, kegufo hu choshuv le'inyan tevila, ve'eno keguf b'fnei atma kedei shenoma rov ha'se'ar, ela ava b'shako ha'se'ar, kashur neima, im eno makarov osala tevila, enken etstafro chotzeitz, achar al gufo, v'nims ha'ko rubo gufo, kamo shebei arnu. Says the Rambam, if most of my hair is tied together, that's not a chatzitza. It's only a chatzitza if I have junk. I was like swimming in the La Brea tar pits or something. So I have tar over almost the majority of my body. And then I have tar in my head. If I put the two together, then most of my body will be covered. I don't make a cheshbon just based on roiv of my head alone. The Rambam says, the way I calculate rov for a chatzitza has to be that my hair together with my body, it's going to be rov of the totality. The Gaonim say I calculate rov of the hair independent from rov of the body. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam writes very clearly, V'yeira eli, shesaro shel adam kigufo hu chashuv. The hair is like the body. And I calculate rov based on rove of the totality, hair and body together. That's what the Rambam says. Now, the Ravid, by the way, says that the Gaonim are correct. That we calculate hair separately. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Gaonim against the Rambam. And says the Ritva, a reason why the Gaonim beat the Rambam is because Rashi agrees with the Gaonim. Does anyone want to plug this in? How does the Ritva say that Rashi agrees with the Gaonim? Yael? So according to Rashi, there's no word Ella, which means our entire Gemara is speaking about the hair. Right? Now, So you want to say that Rashi agrees with the Rambam, not with the Gaonim. That Rashi is saying that hair is part of the body. No, okay. Right. Right. Exactly. So Rashi is talking about only the hair, not the body. Tosfos infers from Rashi that there would be different halachos if we're talking about the body. And Tosfos says, oh, according to Rashi, if we're talking about the body, so then even a miyot is a chatzitza. Even miyot she'eno makbid is a chatzitza. That's what Tosfos says. The Ritva says, no, you misunderstood Rashi. When Rashi says I'm talking about hair, Rashi means that I calculate rove based on my hair. The hair alone. I don't calculate rove based on a combination of hair and body. I agree with the Gaonim that I calculate. Remember, rove is going to be a chatzitza, either midarais or midrabbonon. Right? If it's rove u'makbid, it's chatzitza min ha-Torah. Rove eino makbid, it's chatzitza midrabbonon. Rove of what? The Gaonim say rove of the hair. You calculate the hair separately. That's what the Gaonim say. The Rambam says, no, hair is part of the body. Says the Ritva says it over here, and the Ritva in Erevin is a little more clear. That's what I think I wrote in the Maror Makomis, that there's like a Girsa issue in the Ritva here. In the Mosad Rav Kook Ritva, they touch it up based on the Ritva in Erevin. But the Ritva says that when Rashi comments about rove of the hair, all Rashi means is that I calculate hair independent of body. Rove means rove hair. It doesn't mean a combination of hair and body. Is someone speaking? Sima? Yeah, hi. Mm-hmm. So I think in the whole flow of the Gemara, we're kind of contrasting hair to body, right? The Gemara in Omer Aleph is saying, you know, that isn't chatzitza d'oraisa. We say, oh, that's only in the body, not on the hair. Right? So the Gemara is discussing hair versus body, and therefore when Rashi and Amud Beis says that rove means rove of hair, Tosfos legitimately thinks, or somewhat legitimately thinks, that what Rashi means is la'afuke, the body, that by the body, even if it's not rove, it's going to be a problem. That's what Tosfos says. But the Ritva is saying, no, you misunderstood Rashi. All Rashi means is that I calculate chatzitza based on the hair itself. I do not do rove based on the combination of the hair and the body. In other words, Rashi agrees with the Gaonim, not like the Rambam. But that's what the Ritva says. Did I answer your question, Sima? Good. Now. So, the Sidre Tahara. The Sidre Tahara, by the way, when you learn Hilchos Nida, I actually had a conversation with Rabbi Nitenkin about this like 2 years ago. If you're learning Hilchos Nida and you're not spending time on the Sidrei Tahara, you're missing out like on the world. Like I was asking her whether the Yoatzot really work on the Sidrei Tahara. Whatever, this is like, I have my own theories about stuff. The Sidrei Tahara is like the classic Sefer. He's like so thorough, it's unbelievable. So the Sidrei Tahara has a discussion. He says, when I talk about hair, what does hair mean? Does hair mean hair on my head? But there's hair on other parts of the body also. If I assume, like the Gaonim, that rove means rove of the hair, so then I have a possibility that I could have a chatzitza with a tiny amount that's a chatzitza min ha-Torah. Let's say I have dandruff in my eyebrows. No? It's possible that it's rove and makbid. No? People don't like dandruff in their eyebrows. It kind of looks disgusting. So it could be that would be a chatzitza min ha-Torah. Because it's rove of my hair. And I don't... Maybe I look at every area of hair independently. That's a suffik in the Sidre Tahara. Right? He quotes in Teferes Lamosha. The suffik is when I look at hair, does it have to be every... Do I look at the head hair also, or the entire bodily hair? This is very relevant lahalacha. When the woman goes to the mikveh, you do chafifa. You have to comb your hair. Do you have to comb the other hairy parts of your body? That's a whole discussion. It's all relevant to this issue in the Sidre Tahara as well. But according to this, we could potentially have a chatzitza min hatayra on rove of hair, but every tiny hair area, which means it could be a really tiny amount of the body, but it's going to be a chatzitza min hatayra because it's rove of my eyebrow. Something like that. I sent you to Ritva. A Ritva in Erevin. Not a Ritva, a Me'iri. I sent you to Me'iri in Erevin, no? Did I send you to Beis HaBechira in the Me'iri in Erevin? So the Me'iri in Erevin says like this. This is unbelievable. You know, the Ramah writes that the practice of women when they go to the mikvah is they remove every single foreign part of their body, even if it's mamish, a miyut, and you know it's a miyut she'eno makbir, you'll remove it, no? Ideally, you'll remove every drop. Bidiyevir, if you went to the mikveh and you didn't remove a miyut she'eno makbir, the cases I've had of this are, let's say, regular colored nail polish apparently is makbir. From what I've heard, women don't go out in general, at least to fancy places, with chipped nail polish. But if you have clear nail polish and it's chipped, you might not be makbid on it. You might go out in public with chipped clear nail polish. Do you have to remove your chipped clear nail polish before you go to the mikveh? That's going to be a miyut. So, the practice is we remove everything. We remove even stuff that would be miyot she'eno makbid l'chatchila. We remove it. If you went to the mikveh already, then we'll say it's okay if it's a miyot she'eno makbid. But l'chatchila, we remove everything. The Me'iri writes there in Erevin that according to this position of the Gaonim, that we judge hair separately than the rest of the body. So the Me'iri writes that Hu Hadin, we judge every little aver independently. Meaning, he says, every tooth we would judge independently. So if I have a chatzitza on most of a tooth, that's going to be a rove. One tooth, because every tooth is separate. And every fingernail is separate. So it's possible that the chumrah of the Ramah, that women remove every single chatzitza from their body, even though it's a miyot she'eno makbir, is to be yotze this way that the Me'iri interpreted the Gaonim. Because the Me'iri's interpretation of the Gaonim is that when the Gaonim say that hair is separate from the body, it means hair. It might mean every area where there's hair on the body, and it might mean every tiny part of the body that's not actual torso is viewed separately. That's already wild. But that could be the basis of this practice of the Ramah, which has been the practice of Jews for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, deep breath. So until now, everything I said is pretty standard. Now I want to tell you Judaism according to Schwartz. So it goes like this. There is a discussion about Machlokas Rambam and Gaonim. Rashi agrees with the Gaonim. The discussion is whether the hair is considered the same as the body. In other words, when I have a pasuk that tells me that there is chatzitza on the hair, es hatofel lebisaro, does that mean that the hair becomes part of the body? Or does that mean that the hair is a separate entity from the body, but just like the body has a halacha of chatzitza, the hair also has a halacha of chatzitza? Does S integrate that the hair becomes part of the body? Or does S mean that hair also has halachos like the body has halachos, but the hair is not the same as the body? Right? Do you hear the chakira? Does S make it one in the same or not? So that's a machlokas Rambam and Gaonim. The Gaonim say S tells me there's a halach of chatzitza on the hair, but hair is still separate than the body. The Rambam says no, Yera Eli, that Saro Sha'adam Kigufahu Chashiv, that the hair is like the body. There are a number of drushes that we have in halacha based on the word S. And we have to figure out what the word S means. And in certain cases, the Rishonim disagree as to whether the S means exactly the same as the original Dina. Let me give you an example. What bracha do you make on orange peels? Now you can tell me I never eat orange peels. So when I was a kid, one of the standard host gifts was chocolate-covered orange peels. Does anyone remember this? I have no idea what people were thinking in those days, right? But chocolate-covered orange peels is like a thing. What bracha do you make on chocolate-covered orange peels? Now, don't tell me you make a shahako because the chocolate is ikar, because I would argue that chocolate itself should be a borei pri ha'etz, because chocolate comes from cocoa beans, it grows on a tree. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, fundamentally, chocolate is borei pri ha'etz. Just don't tell that to people, they'll think you're really weird. But chocolate should be borei pri ha'etz. What about orange peels? What bracha do you make on an orange peel? So the Gemara Ketzem Avarchan Daf Lamed Vovem and Beis says Va'araltem Orlaso Es Pirio. There's a halach of Orla, and the halach of Orla that the fruit the first 3 years is Usser includes the Shomer Lepri, and the orange peel also is Usser the first 3 years. You can't make a dye out of the peels. Orla is Usser Bahana'a. Can't make a dye out of the peels the first 3 years. This is in of Orla. Taisus alatar, Taisus in Brachas Lamed Vavam and Beis says, oh, varautem orloso es pirio. That means that the peel is considered the fruit. And if I eat an orange peel, I make a borei pri ha'etz. That's what Taisus writes in Brachas Taf Lamed Vav. Rashba, Brachas Taf Lamed Vav, says, my dear beloved Taisus, I love you like a brother, but you're dead wrong. Because S, perio, the fact that I extend the din to the Shomer Lepri, that doesn't mean that it's exactly the same as the fruit. The fruit is the fruit. The orange peel is not a Boire Pri Ha'etz. It's not the fruit itself. The orange peel might be Ha'adoma. It might even be shahakol, but it's not a bari pri ha'etz, says the Rashba. That's the same machlokes. Does S mean that it becomes the ikar zach, that becomes the main thing on its own? How do you say zach in English? Right? You can't, right? It's the ikar zach, right? Is that what S does? Other examples in halacha. Kabeid es avicha ve'es imecha. Chazal say, Es is l'rabos achicha hagadol. No? You have to honor your older brother also. Again, whether it applies, my sister used to always try to convince me that it applies to your older sister also. My sister is a couple years older than me. She tried to convince me of this all the time. This was like our childhood fight. But, Kabeit es avicha ve'esimecha. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes that the chiyuv of kavod to an older sibling is basically kavod to a parent. Your parent wants you to respect your older sibling. There's no din of being mechabed my older brother if I would have one. There's a din of being mechabed my parent. But my parent wants me to be mechabed my older brother. That means that the Ramban is taking the S and integrating it, right? Es l'rabos achicha agodo becomes like avicha to some extent. The Rambam doesn't hold this way. The Megillas Esther and the Sefer Mitzvah says that maybe the Rambam holds that there's an independent mitzvah of honoring an older sibling. It's not considered an extension of the parent. There's a few other examples that we have of S, of drushos from S. Es l'rabos talmidei chachamim, right. Nachon, that Hashem wants me to honor Talmud Chacham because mora rabcha kemora shamayim, but that might only apply if it's rabo muvhak. Right? Es l'rabos talmidei chachamim, right, might only be, there's a machlokas between two opinions in the Meiri and Psachim. Whether l'rabos talmidei chachamim means only rabo muvhak or only the gadol hadar or any rebbe. Right? That could be precisely this issue. I think whenever we have drushos from S, to my knowledge, again, this is Judaism according to Schwartz, and maybe it's kedai to, like, kind of do a chart to see if the Rishonim are consistent, but I would argue that there's a fundamental question. A drusha from S, does that mean that it integrates, or is it mar be'anu chiyuv? Does S, right, by S, by the Seyar, does it mean that the Seyar is kegufa hu chashev, like the Rambam says, or no? S by the Seyar means that there's a din that Seyar also needs chatzitza. There's a din chatzitza by Seyar also. But I calculate the Seyar, I calculate the hair, separately than I calculate the entire body. So again, these are just some of my thoughts over here. So I'm not sure. Like in Hilchos Brachos, for example, right, there's a din of Ikar and Tafel. Ikar and Tafel could be when it's Me'urav, like when I eat my cereal with milk. And Ikar and Tafel could also be when it's Eino Me'urav. If I eat a very spicy fish and I eat some cracker afterwards to help the fish go down, that's Ikar and Tafel She'eino Me'urav. Right, so I don't know if the word tafel automatically means that it is mixed together. Again, these are all issues that are worth investigating. Maybe next time we learn, there's one other point that the Rashi makes over here that's an essential point for the din of chatzitza by tevila. Again, it's your bad luck that, like, the topics I teach in yeshiva are like Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Nida, etc. So whenever I get to one of these topics, I get really excited. So what can I do? But just to conclude, again, like, our learning, of course, should be Le'ilay Nishmas, Tanya's mother. I'm sure in Gan Eden, she looks down and she's like, oh my gosh, my daughter learns a ton of Torah. That's really awesome. And that's a great thing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you continue to give your mother naches. The din of mechabdo la'achar misa is that when we do what our parent wants, that's kavod. Learning Torah, I'm sure your mother really wants you to learn Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you strength to continue steiging away, and God willing, we'll continue this year next week. Okay, Chevra, thank you for coming to learn.